Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy Sunday. We have just one quick announcement for you, and that is for our ladies 55 plus. The paint class is coming up this Tuesday, so that is just a few short days away. So if you're already going, then you already know what you're doing. If you're still interested in it, you can talk to Miss Cecilia to get a little more details about it. But it is going to be the 14th from 1 to 4 p.m., and the cost is $25. And that's going to cover all your supplies. So that's our only announcement. Other than that, junior high, 6th to 8th grade, you guys can take off for class, and then Pastor will go.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Where is Miss Cecilia? Miss Cecilia, wave your hands, because there might be people here who don't know who you is. We all take for granted, and we know who Miss Cecilia is. This is just her. Amen. Look at that. He gave the announcement so fast they didn't even get done with the offering yet. Praise God. That's okay, though. We'll let those guys keep going there. He was Johnny on the spot there. You know, it's July. We don't have a lot of announcements going on, a lot of things happening. It's summertime. We know that now it's the last mad rush to get everything done before kids go back to school and all that kind of wonderful things there. So praise the Lord. You know, God is so good, so wonderful. It is. You know, summertime, it can either put you under. We've been so busy for summertime. We're going to do our second baby shower in 2 weeks. And so we're going to do things. And two of our daughters, our daughter-in-law and their daughter, both having babies, supposedly on the same day in August. But we believe one's going to go before the other one, okay? So Pastor Pam and I have to take off and go to a church in Roseville and set up the whole shower and get it all set up before 4 o'clock today and get everything ready for everybody. So praise the Lord. So the mercy of God can be upon us. It's all good. And we will. We'll make it. You know, it'd be nice if we just had to set up a few tables, but I think half the church is coming, so praise the Lord. It's going to be good. We're blessed, and they're blessed, and so we're excited about it. And this will be number 23 and number 24 grandchildren for us. Yeah, you heard the number right, 23 and 24. So we'll have 24 grandkids. Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. It is. We'd say enough is enough, but we don't know about that. Hallelujah. So we're blessed. We are blessed. God is so good. And we just thank God for that. It is. It's a wonderful blessing. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. We started something 2 weeks ago. We had the 4th of July, so we changed a little bit and just shared some things there. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about that love was faith's foundation. And the Lord just really began to impress me. And the reason that he did is because, and I know why he did, because now I've been contacted by several different people, different things, you know, just the challenges of their faith, the challenges of their beliefs, because there's so many voices. How many know there's a lot of things and so many voices, and there's a lot of people called influencers. People get paid a lot of money to influence you. And wow, what an amazing thing. But they can influence you in the right way or they can influence you in the wrong way. And I don't want to be an influencer. I want to tell you the truth and let you do your own thinking about it. I always preach what I know and let you do your own thinking. I never tell you what I think. And because the reason being is that what happens is your minds can get changed, but your heart will be established. Let me say it again. Your mind can get changed, but your heart will be established. And the thing about it is that as you think, though, you know, but the Bible says, as you think in your heart, so are you. And so it's not how you think in your head, how are you? Amen. Thank you for your overwhelming response. It's not how you think that determines some things. It's what you believe in your heart. Now, with that being said, what you think has a great, great effect on your heart, amen? Because the Bible says we're put to set our mind on things above and not on things on the earth. And so there's been challenges, especially in belief systems and faith systems and just trusting God and knowing that God's going to meet the need. God's going to bring it to pass. God's word is still God's word. Amen? So here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says this. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrines of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. Amen? You notice he gave us six fundamental doctrines that we all should know. And it's amazing how many people don't know what these mean. You know, he said the first fundamental principle or fundamental doctrine is this, and that's repentance from dead works. Amen. Why is that the very first one? Because we got to know that we can't get to heaven by our works. So we repent of trying. We receive the gift of God by faith. And that's why faith is so vitally important. And that's why we're going to take time to just share on the subject because, man, your faith is what will sustain you. Your faith is what will help you finish. It's your faith that will hold you together. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because you got to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? Amen? But notice what he said here. He said the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Of faith toward God. You know, when I went to school, went to Bible college and stuff, it amazed me about, depending upon how you were saved or how you got a hold of God, determined your foundation or determined your starting point. You can always build on your foundation. You can always make it better. But it determined your starting point. Because see, back in the 70s, we were all pretty out there. And so, you know, going to college during that time and everything, and everybody came from all over and everybody had a different story. And you could just tell, wow, it was supernatural how you guys all got here. And it had to be God to get you here. But wow. And what happened is that a lot of them, you know, that didn't understand and have a foundation built upon faith toward God. They had heard Mark 11, 23 and 24, so they had the faith of God, and they were excited about that, but their foundation was not founded in faith toward God. See, if your foundation is in faith toward God, you'll hold steady when the faith of God doesn't work. Because the faith of God is what it does is that it connects you to the things of believing God, hallelujah, for what receiving that God has. Amen? Amen? That's what the faith of God is. That's your receptivity and how you receive. But faith toward God is your attitude. Yeah. Faith has an attitude and has a good attitude. It does not a bad one. But faith toward God has a good attitude because faith toward God says what Job said. Job said this, though you slay me, yet I will trust you. No matter what goes on, I'm just so thankful for my salvation. Amen? I trust God. You remember his wife said, you ought to curse God and die. And he said, hey, you talk like a foolish woman. He's the only help I got. Amen. No matter what goes on. And so the foundation, because people get all nervous about faith. They get all nervous about trusting God and about exercising their faith or trusting God in what the Word of God says, believing God. And listen, the God kind of faith is what we need to have. That's what Mark 11, 23 and 24 talks about. Amen. It's heaven. That's the way God operates. Hallelujah. He speaks things into existence. It's awesome. Hallelujah. That's what he does because he can create those things. Our faith is in his word, hallelujah, so that his word will be made manifest in our lives. Amen? You know, I mean, when we understand that faith is just this firm foundation, it's just this firm faith in God, trusting him. Amen. But a fundamental doctrine and the basis of all of it has to be that we trust God no matter what is going on in our lives. You know, one of my famous stories is this. I had a friend and their church was doing really good. They had a nice congregation. Things were doing really good. But they were prayed for a lady in their church who seemed to be very spiritual and was one of their leading ladies. And they prayed for her because sickness had attached itself to her body. And she died. and God didn't answer their prayer. So they folded the whole church. He went back, he became a dentist. No offense to that, and I'm not judging him at all. Not by any stretch, because I understand the difficulties in that. Okay? But just because one person passes away does not do away with the Word of God. You need to understand it. It got, you know, someone said, well, why did she? I don't know why she died. We did everything right. I said, and the problem with that is that we have a tendency to think, we did the formula, why didn't it work?
Come on.
And faith's not a formula. Faith is a relationship with a wonderful God, and trusting what He said, He's able to do it. Amen? Hallelujah. Because I want you to go with me over to Romans just for a little. Go to Romans chapter 4, if you would, real quick. I'm just going to read a scripture and then we'll jump back over here. But Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. Just so you know, I'm not just saying things. Oh, he's just speaking. I'm going to give you the Bible. I'm going to give you the Word of God, and you decide. Amen? Because why? Because I want you to finish. You know, but I also want you to finish strong, and I want you to finish with joy. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 20, talking about Abraham. He said this, Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God was through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Talking about when he's going to receive Isaac, his son. Now look at verse 21. Being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. See, the thing of it is, most of the time we are trying to have faith in our words. We're trying to have faith in our ability instead of having faith in God's word and God's ability. Amen? Because just like I said, faith toward God is our attitude and our trust in Him. Faith of God is our ability to receive from Him. And when you're trusting His ability, it's easy to receive. It's not hard. It's simply believing that what God said is greater than the circumstances that are facing you. Amen? Because when you understand that, when you take hold of that, it's just, it's so wonderful. Because it's easy to have faith in God and to believe what He told you when you find it in His Word. Amen? But isn't it amazing? He said, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, He, God, was able also to perform. What an amazing thought process is when you realize that glory to God. I'm going to trust God because I've got His scripture. I've got His word on the subject. Amen. But I can trust God no matter what. In the midst of it, I'm going to trust God no matter what takes place. I'm going to trust Him. Amen. And that's why, because see, both the faith of God and faith toward God both grow out of the Word of God. Because how do you trust somebody? You trust them because they've given you their word and you can trust them. If somebody you trust says, hey, I'm going to meet you next week at this time, say, you're going to go to that spot because you believe they're going to be men and women of their word. Amen? Now, if there's somebody who's not real punctual, not everybody has that family member that you tell them an hour early, you know, earlier because you know they're going to be there an hour later. Hallelujah. You know. Because they don't value your time, you know. They just are doing their thing there, you know. And praise God for that. Hallelujah. But the key is, that's why people, when we look at the Word of God and we look at the subject of faith, because when we get into having faith of God, when we get into believing and exercising your faith and having authority. You know, the Bible says we are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. We're destroyed about lack of knowledge of the Word of God. I'll never forget this. I heard a person say this, and it was so great. It just really helped me. Because it said, listen, if the Word of God's not working in your life, it just means you don't know enough yet. Doesn't mean it doesn't work. It just means you don't know enough about that subject yet. Amen? You don't know enough about, hey, what do we need to do? Amen? And so it just means you need to get more knowledge on it. Amen. Thank you for your overwhelming response. But that's okay, because when you look and you study the Word of God, what I want to do is give you knowledge so that you can act upon the Word of God and be strong and finish. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And just be strong enough to take the Word of God and change your life. Amen. Go. You're there in Romans chapter 4. Go to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to take my time because I got you know, I have a tendency to start quoting scriptures and start saying things and preaching real fast. Romans chapter 8. Okay. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen on that. Hallelujah. But I'm trying to slow down. I am. I'm trying to, you know, slow down and get it. So I am a lot better than before. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8:31. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read this to you. He said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. And then he says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Then he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's why we established it on that faith works by love. The Bible has a scripture that says faith works by love. Faith is established by love. And so it says, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Do you know the only person that can separate you from the love of Christ is you? You're the only one that can walk away. You're the only one that can declare that he doesn't. You're the only one that can stop that. He goes on to say this, shall tribulation or distress? It's amazing to me how many people fall by the wayside the first sign of opposition. The first time they get punched. That's why, one of the things I'm really working on is, after the hit. That's the name of my book that I'm creating and doing for after what happened to me, what happened before and everything. Because I've went through things. Just like I said, that whole church folded. Because one of the ladies in the church passed away. Our church didn't fold. And not that we just have one lady in our church pass away. We had the matriarch. We had my, first wife that died of cancer, died out of the, wasn't the will of God for any of that stuff. And yet people are like, and yet God has restored. God has blessed. Unbelievable. God has, And I've been able to minister to at least 20 or 30 different pastors around the nation and help churches. And the wonderful thing is all those churches are still going today. The pastors are still going today because I was able to tell them, listen, after you've been hit, it's not the hit. It's what you do after the hit. Amen. That's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. When you got nothing to stand on, when you got no hope, come on. When you just think God has failed you, amen? When you think God has failed you, then you're in trouble because it's the only hope you have, amen? And people walk away instead of realizing, wait a minute, God's not failed me. The word hasn't failed me. Tribulation hasn't come against me. Distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. All of these things. Is that going to do it? Is that going to mess you all up? He said, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, most people read over that. That just means, you know what? It doesn't matter. Even if I get slaughtered, I'm going to make heaven. But verse 37 is a shouting verse. Verse 37 is the glory. He said, no, no, no. In all of these things, what did he say? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. No, no, no. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen? Now, says, how can you do that? How can you make it through that? How do you rise up out of the ashes? Amen? With the word of God. You rise up out of the ashes with the word of God. Because the word of God's still the word of God. Yes. People ask me, at different times, I just still don't know, except for the word of God. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And of course, everybody's a big question, and this is one of the things that'll ruin your faith. So if you're not listening, hit your neighbor. Say right now, he's about to say something to help you. Okay? The biggest question is, why? Well, why did it happen? Why didn't it happen? Why did it fail? Why didn't it work? Come on, I'm glad I got all your attention now. Amen. See, when you have to live it, when you have to take hold of the Word of God, and you have to take hold of faith, the reason that I stood strong, the reason I've been able to help everybody else is because the foundation that I had was I had faith toward God. I had faith in God. I had a salvation that no matter what, you know, I mean, I grew up in a church that talked about God being this mean God, that if you didn't obey him, he's going to make you a greasy spot right there in the carpet, right there. You know, everything was, you know, everything. And then they, you know, would say everything that bad happened, God did it, which was totally a lie. But, you know, what you needed to understand. And so, but in that though, I didn't want to go to, you know, I wanted to go to heaven and not hell. So in that though, I continually stayed with God because I knew the Lord was the one. But I also knew that that couldn't be true of all the things they were saying. I knew that it was just going to, no, we're going to be more than conquerors. Now look at verse 38, because this is what I want to get to you. Did you notice over there in Romans chapter 4, it says that Abraham was fully persuaded. Yes. Notice what it says here in verse 38. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, oh, right there. Neither death. I mean, now we always think, well, that might just be us. No. It's either death of other people around that you say, well, I don't know. I prayed and did it. And how come this happened? And he says, neither death nor life, the life that no matter how crazy my life is, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I am not going to separate my faith from his love. My faith is in the love that God has toward me and my love toward him. That means I can exercise what he has done for me. Amen. Now, many of you say, well, how do you do that? Well, your faith has to govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. Your actions can speak so loud, nobody cares what you're saying. Amen. I'll say it again. Your actions can speak so loud, nobody cares what you're saying. Because your faith should govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. And you know, somebody says, well, I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to say these things. The problem is your thought life, is you're thinking the wrong things. Because you're thinking defeat. You're thinking, I've got to make this happen. And when you think that you've got to make your faith work, you're in trouble. Why do I say that? Because faith is a gift that God gave us. He gave us the faith to get saved. No man can come unto the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. Amen? Ephesians 2:8 says, it's the gift. It's a gift. For we are saved by faith. It is the gift of God. We are saved through faith. Saved by grace through faith. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Thank God for the grace of God. But it's a gift. But we're trying to work at it because we think it's a formula. Because we've broke it down and we've taught about things and we talk. But no, faith in God and faith toward God is simply, I just trust God. When I made Jesus the Lord of my life, I'm going to stay in. No man can take me out of the hand of God. Amen. No principality, no death, nor life, nor angels, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, no height, nor depth, nor any other creature is going to separate me from the love of Christ. And we've allowed what somebody said about us to separate us. We've allowed offense to come. Amen. Or we've allowed an influence to say, you should be, if you're not a part of this, then you're not this. And we think it's something new. And it's not new. It's been going on for ages. Everybody thinks they're the only ones. Every person thinks, I mean, the scripture says, every man thinks he's right in his own eyes, okay? We see this. We see what's going on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know? And here's the thing about it is, God said this. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, if you would. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just giving you an introduction, okay? So we're going to actually get into something, hopefully. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. No, it's trusting. It's trusting in God and realizing the goodness and the grace of God. Hallelujah. Why is it important? Because in the latter days, and what's happening, what's going to keep going, you're going to have so many different voices in the world. And also, there's going to be so many different challenges. You know, because you do know the world's going to get darker and darker and darker. That's what the Bible declares. As much as we want to see that, but the world's going to get darker and darker. But the church is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter if you want it to be. So I said, well, you just think you're something special. Yes, we do. Because we're children of God, because we chose to serve Him. We don't think we're special in the flesh, but we do think we're special in God. Because He loves us. I got a great Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have a great, great Father. He's awesome. He's awesome. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts, the shield of faith. Well, you know your shield's up when it governs what you think, what you say, and what you do. Your actions coincide with what you're believing. Amen? I want to give you some things that I just wrote down, going through the Bible. And these are things you can't have, you know, or you won't be able to be, these won't be a blessing to you or a benefit to you without faith. Amen? And, hopefully, I don't know how fast I'm going to go through them. They actually have a copy of everything. But, I'm going to go through them kind of quickly. But I just want to, and I'll comment on those that I feel like the Holy Spirit says comment. But why is that important? Because without faith, we cannot please God. Amen. Number one. That's the very first. You can't please God without believing that He is and that He's a rewarder. So this is very important. Amen. But you got to believe He is. That's why you accepted Him. That's why you have a relationship with Him. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. Amen. Number one is that you can't please God. Hallelujah. You know, Hebrews 11:6. Hallelujah. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For you got to believe. Hallelujah. That He is and that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Amen. And believe it or not, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says you can't even be saved without faith. Because for by grace are we saved through faith. That is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And you can't really walk. The Bible says we walk by faith. You can't walk this Christian walk without trusting God, without believing that He is your Savior, that He's your Lord, and that He's your protector. All the things that the Word of God declares, you can't do it without believing and trusting in Him. Amen? Amen. So we get a lot of opposition. The reason being is because when you know your faith is strong, hallelujah, glory to God, then you can be strong. Amen. How many ever went out to lunch with people and you were the lunch? I've had that happen to me 3 times with 3 different groups of pastors who wanted to take me out, buy me lunch, but they wanted to change my doctrine because they wanted me to get connected with them and bring all the other guys that were connected to me. Okay? Amen. So I didn't know that at the time. And as dumb as I was, I did that 3 times because I was young and didn't know anything, you know? Because, you know, I just, you know, started a thing and just, you know, just trying to help pastors that were just kind of all scattered trying to get connectivity. And so I started inviting each one of them to lunch and buying their lunches. And then I started inviting them together and eventually got up to 60 pastors that I brought in. Of course, I still bought all 60 pastors' lunches, okay? But so that's what kind of caused all of these things here, that they thought I had my own kind. I didn't. I just had guys, we were just coming together and fellowshipping, encouraging one another and strengthening them. Amen? And getting them strengthened. Why? Because we need a church on every corner. Amen? We need a church. We need the gospel going out. We need everybody, you know, making it. We do. Amen? We do need to do that. But these other guys came in and going out and going, whoa. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I'm the lunch. All right, here we go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What an exciting thing here. And they're trying to convince you that they're right or trying to convince you that you need to join or you need to do this. Just to give you a heads up, I didn't join any of them. Okay? You know, it goes at number one. None of them were scriptural. But hallelujah. But you can't walk this without knowing. And when you have faith to believe when you know what you know, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't bother you what everybody else knows. Because you're at peace. You can listen and then see, hey, maybe they do know more than me. Maybe that's a good thing. But praise the Lord. I'm just so thankful for what I can do. Because you can't live, you know, you can't walk the Christian walk, and you really can't live this Christian life successfully because you won't understand the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You won't understand, man, what is it so joyful to know God loves me, and I have faith in that love, and I have faith in God said this, and I can trust him. God's never going to fail me. Man's going to fail me all the time, but God's never going to fail me. Amen. Hallelujah. He's never going to fail me. Thank God. Hallelujah. That, you know, it also says this, that you can't inherit the promises of God without faith. Hebrews 6:12 says that you do not become sluggish. That means don't do that. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Thank you for your overwhelming response in that. Because we're like, well, I just think you, if, how many know if you've been promised something and you don't know about it, you can't get a hold of it. Amen? Yeah. And yet God says that we're part of the heirs. We are joint heirs with Christ. To be a joint heir with Christ means that there's something given. Yes. Means there's a will. And there's something written in that belongs to you. Amen? That you've been left in the will. That means you've got something that's been said about you. Amen? Praise God. So the promises of God are yes and amen, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen? Why is that so important? I know I'm going a little slower, trying to get it, but I'm trying to get it to sink in on the inside of you to get the importance of it. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, you know, in Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 says this. It says, Paul talking to them, he says, not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand. Isn't it amazing that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11 and 12, it all talks about having done all to stand, stand. Amen? And the reason he says is because you can't stand firm. Everybody gets so wishy-washy. How many people go off on tangents? Go off on this thing, or this fad, this thing, and this thing. They have a hard time staying focused. Have a hard time staying, you know, in their lane. Because you think somebody else is getting something that you're not getting. Amen. But God wants us to finish, and he wants us to finish in our lane. He wants us to finish at what he said. Because that's where your joy is. And if you found yourself where the Word of God doesn't really mean that much to you, or you found yourself where the Word of God really hasn't been coming alive, then you need to go back to the very last time that there was revelation. The very last time that the Word of God made you excited, got a hold of you. And then you say, okay, Lord, what haven't I done with the Word of God? And why is it not working? Because it's not working because I haven't done something with it. Because if I don't have joy in my life and I don't have the spark that I once had, or I don't have the fire that I once had, it's because I haven't been obedient to something he's told me. Because this is a passion right now. I mean, it's a passion of mine to, you know, as far as to get faith, because I'm just tired of seeing people fall by the wayside. I get calls late at night. I get calls from all around the country of people just saying, hey, can you pray? Can you do? And it's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to pray, but this is what you need to do. And I'm trying. And these are guys that are wonderful guys. They're wonderful folks. It's just their faith has been beaten, and they're downtrodden. And they're trying to understand. I don't know how it's supposed to work. I said, well, we're going to trust God. We're going to love God. Watch God do it. Watch God do things. And that's why they always call me, because God answers my prayers. He does. That's something that he does. He just does. Well, because I do pray, because I do believe it, because I want them to get it. I remember talking to one person one time about getting born again. And we were talking to him and his wife, and there was an older couple talking to him. And he just looks at me and he says, "You want me to get saved more than I do?" I said, "Of course I do. Of course I do." I said, "That's why I'm doing my best. I'm working every, I'm giving you every, you're asking me all of these questions." You know, I mean, he did. But thank God he got born again. He's in heaven today. His wife is born again. Hallelujah. But, you know, I said, "Of course I do. Of course I want you to get saved more than you do. That's why I'm talking to you. I want you to get it." You know, John's, the Gospel of John, one of the first, you know, epistles of John says this. It says, "I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth." Because I'm tired of the church being beat up, going from here to there, running here and running there, not having the presence and the power of God in their lives here. Amen? Hallelujah. Because if we can't stand firm on the Word of God without that, because that's how we stand, is by the Word of God. But this is a big one. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 says, you got to fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight that we're in. You know, we didn't pick the fight. They brought the fight, okay? But it's a fight. Why? Because they don't want you to be happy. They don't want you to be full of joy. They don't want your faith to work, because then you're right. Amen. They don't want what you believe to be right, because here's the thing about it. When you get excited about God and your faith's working and you're rejoicing and you get on fire for God, hallelujah, you show up everybody else's dirt. And they all get convicted, because they know you. And they go, "My gosh, if he can do it, what's wrong? I know I'm better than he is. How come I can't get it?" Amen. Another story I heard that was so good, because this lady came and she said, "I want to ask a minister." She said, "I want to ask you a question." She said, "I want to," and he goes, "Well, okay, what is the question?" "Well, my family, I mean, we go to church every Sunday. We go to church all the time. We pray, we do everything, and we come and we're here and we're doing everything. And my husband's family, they're in and out of church. They're doing this, doing that, and." You know, and she goes, "Well, you haven't really asked me a question." She said, "Well, I want to ask you this question. How come my family, we never get healed? And my husband's family, they always get healed?" And of course, the minister said, "Well, I really can't answer that question. I don't know." He said, "But I do know one thing." He said, "That I'm pretty sure whoever is the quickest to repent is who receives the healing." Amen. And he said, second to that is, whoever is the quickest to forgive gets their healing. I never forgot that. So when healing isn't coming, I'm always quick to repent and quick to forgive, because I want to get it. Amen. And of course, the girl said, "You hit the nail on the head." He said, "Well, I didn't. The Bible did." You know, and she said, "No, my husband's family, they're always quick to forgive and quick to repent." And he said, "Yeah, because they're going on the mercy of God. You guys over here are going on what you do. You're going on, well, look at me. Look at this. Look at me. God, you should do this." I had a guy come in and help me. We were reupholstering seats in a church that I pastored in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We redid 1,500 seats, theater seats. Like, you know, and so we had bales of cotton shipped in from Brazil, and they came on big semi, and so we cut it all out, put it on there, put the sprint, I mean, and created it, because we, you know, the cost of new seats were too expensive. So we did it. We actually stapled them, put on, so we had an assembly line in the back. So me and this other gentleman we're working on it. All of a sudden, he throws the staple gun across the room. I'm like, "Whoa, okay, what happened?" He goes, "You'd think the Lord would heal me just because I'm doing this." And then I said, "Okay, we need to sit down. The Lord's not going to heal you just because you're doing that. And if you're doing this because you want the Lord to do something, you're doing it for all the wrong reasons." And thank God I was able to talk to him. Thank God I was able to share the Word of God with him. I said, "Listen, no, healing's not based on what you do. Healing's not based on anything you do. Healing's based on what Jesus did. Healing's based on, he already did it. I said, come on, where are you hurting? And he told me, and I prayed, and God healed him. Amen. I said, no, you're getting this all wrong, because you're thinking if I do this, I do this, God should do this for me. And the problem is that you're trying to fight the wrong fight. See, it says you got to fight the good fight of faith. Faith is the simply taking the word of God and believing and trusting in what God says. And that's a lot harder than it looks, because all of us, we want to do something. We want to fix it. We want to come against it. We want to do these things here. It's like, nope, can't do that. You got to trust God's working on it. Because if God's got it, you shouldn't be thinking about it or worrying about it. If you're thinking about it or worrying about it, and I think, then you got it. He don't got it. Amen. We jumping all around, but you know, that's okay, because we're answering a lot of questions is what we're doing this morning. And the reason being is because I'm a pastor, I'm a shepherd, because I've just seen this, and then people want to go, well, you know, if you don't belong here, if you're not part of this, or you're doing this, and it's like, what do you believe? What does the Word of God say? Because the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free or set you free. That's how you know truth. It gives you freedom. It gives you freedom. It doesn't bring you into bondage. It gives you freedom. It gives you victory. Hallelujah. It gives you victory. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 5, actually. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 4-5, okay? 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or not hard. Amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Hallelujah. So, glory to God. You know, we can't have the victory without faith. Yeah. Amen. We can't have the joy. We can't have peace. We can't have all. They all work together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And here's the thing, too, is that you got to know how to resist the devil. And the only way to resist the devil is to believe that you have power and authority over him. Amen. That God gave you authority. Because if you don't believe that you do, then you can't exercise your faith. Amen? It doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. See, many times people are putting up with so many things that they don't have to put up with. Hallelujah. Amen? You know, in 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist him, resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It says, but you got to resist him, steadfast in the faith. We also know that James said, or he said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We understand that. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Because thank God for the emotional connections. Thank God that when we can see the spirit of the presence of God, that's so wonderful. But thank God it's the word of God that'll hold us steady. And it's the word of God that actually keeps us going. Now, I still have 1.5 pages here. What are we going to do? Okay. You all got to listen a little faster. All right. No, I wrote like, you know, I just went through this thinking, okay, Lord, what is it? And the connectivity of, when you begin to see the connectivity of it, everything in the Word of God is connected to faith, because you have to believe that what God said is true. When you're reading about the promises of God, you're reading about the joy, you're reading about peace, you're reading about wisdom, you're reading about being free from sin, you're reading about healing or miracles, you're reading about overcoming all the obstacles, you're reading about, man, I just can't have this hardest time to forgive. I just can't forgive them. I'll never forgive them. And yet God tells you have to in order for you to be blessed, because forgiveness isn't for them, it's for you. Amen? Hallelujah. And so the wonderful thing about faith being a gift is we get to keep unwrapping it and unwrapping it and unwrapping it, and it keeps blessing us. Yes. Amen? And here's the biggest reason why I'm teaching this, and we're gonna wind this thing up. I didn't say close. I said wind it up. Go to Luke chapter 18, because I want to give you, I've given you tons of scriptures, And I want to give it to you. And the reason being is because I want to lay a foundation. So when we talk about, and I want you to know the difference between faith toward God and the faith of God. I want you to know a difference between Job saying, and even though we know God didn't do it, we know the devil did it, we know the story. But Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust. He thought God was the one that took everything. He thought God killed all his kids. He thought God, you know, killed all of his animals, ran them off. He thought God destroyed his house. He thought God put all those boils on him. And yet he still loved God. Amen? And God didn't do any of it. You know, and we know God totally turned that all around. And lest you think God's, you know, Job's whole, what he had to go through was this long, years-long thing. It was only 9 months. The whole book of Job is only 9 months, only written in 9 months. It only took 9 months for God to turn everything around and give him double of everything. Okay, so just understand that, because many people think, well, I'm just like Job, it's been happening 20. I said, no, if you're like Job, it's over in 9 months. Come on, buddy. You should have had that a long time ago. So it's good. Be like Job. Yes. Praise God. Let's do all of it. Let's stand. Job's awesome. Let's stand strong. Amen. Through the midst of everything. Not understanding, not knowing why. Thinking, I don't understand this. But let's trust God. Yes. Amen. Because you'll come out on the other side. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I should get on the right page. Luke 18, verse 8. Amen. And this is talking about the unjust judge. We know this. It's a parable that Jesus said. He said, but I tell you that he will avenge her or avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? When Jesus comes back, the only thing he's going to be looking for is faith. He's not going to be looking for what you've done, even though if you have faith, you will do it. Because James said this, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Remember, your faith has to govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. You have to believe it. Amen? You have to believe it. You have to believe that. Amen? He said, when the Son of Man comes back, is he going to find faith on the earth? Is he going to find us believing? That's why there's such an attack on the church. That's why there's everybody just saying, hey, we're gonna deal with it. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? You know, are we going to be able to find this? Hallelujah. Because why? Because faith brings all the unreal or the unthings of hope, brings all that we're hoping for, it brings it into reality based on the Word of God. Amen. Amen? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is. Faith is the confidence. But I've seen so many people lose their confidence. And then here's the phrase that you guys know. I've said this so many times because it's so bare. Because two guys come up to me and says, the only reason you believe the way you believe is because it works for you. And that sounds good. That sounds right, but it's totally wrong. It's totally wrong. And I had to tell them, I said, no, that's not right. They said, what do you mean? No. I said, no. I said, that's not right. I said, it works for me because I believe it. I don't believe it because it works. It works because I believe. Because when it don't work, I still believe. Because I don't know about you, but I've had lots of opportunities to stand and lots of opportunities where it didn't work. And that's probably the biggest testimony that I have in my entire life. People are saying, you went through this and you're out. You went through this. You went through this. You had this happen. And look at you. You're happy. How can you be happy? How can you be full of joy? How can you have peace? How can you think, what are we doing? Huh? Now, I know people call me crazy. It can be a lot of things like that. But that's beside the point, okay? Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. And the whole only thing I can tell people, which I tell them all the time, I said, well, it's because I just believe the Word of God. Amen. God's not through yet. Amen. And I usually use Paul as an example because he went from one jail to the next jail, and this jail spent 3 years in jail, wrote all of the epistles and everything else. But when he wrote to the Philippian church, he said, listen, the supply of your spirit's going to set me free. I'm believing in your prayers and the supply of your spirit's going to do. I'm endeavoring. Now, we all know Paul didn't ever get out. He died in Rome and died a martyr. But he also wrote, over half of the New Testament, praise God, that we have. And the revelation that he had was incredible and so wonderful and so fantastic. Amen? And thank God we are receiving the benefit of that. Yes. Amen? But he continually kept believing. And not one time, did you know that not one time did Paul say, I'm a prisoner of Rome? He always said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I'm exactly where God wants me, in prison. Isn't it funny, over there in Acts, he says, listen, I don't know what's going to happen in the next city, except I'm going to get beat up and thrown in jail. But I'm going to go to this city and get beat up and thrown in jail. Isn't that awesome? Hey, guess what? All right, folks, let's go. We're going to get beat up and thrown in jail. If he'd have told Silas that before Silas connected with him, guarantee you Silas would not be mentioned in the Bible. Guaranteed. Huh? Remember? And you remember, Paul goes with Barnabas, and I'm closing on this. Paul goes with Barnabas, and he takes John Mark with him, and then John Mark doesn't cut the mustard, and he leaves because he said, this is crazy, this is too hard, it's too rough, And of course, Barnabas says, hey, let's give him another chance, because the next missionary journey they're going to go, Paul says, no, we ain't taking that wimp with us. We ain't taking that guy. He didn't. He left his high. No. And so Barnabas said, no, he's still profitable. So Barnabas goes with Mark, amen, and encourages Mark. Mark, in turn, becomes Peter's son, writes the gospel of Mark, but also really is the gospel of Peter. Then later on, we see Paul in his writing say, hey, bring Mark with you, because he's profitable. So you got to understand, Paul was a little hardcore, okay? In some things here and some stuff. Thank God for Barnabas loving on people, helping people. It's called the son of comfort. He's comforting. He's doing those things. What a blessing. What a joy. And the reason I share with you is because, listen, this faith journey that we're about to go on, this faith life, this thing, how it comes, how it goes, because there are some things, and I want to give you some things that I really believe that'll help you stand strong, and it'll also help you to finish. Finish. I mean, I love everybody who's older than I am. I do. And because of the strength, because you're here, because you're honoring God. And I always use my precious friend, who's in it, Brother Self. He convicted me more than any other person I've ever met. He lived to be 94, almost 95. And every day he always say, just got to reach one more. We just got to reach one more. I just got to reach one more for Jesus. We got to go out and do what we need to do. We would always have incredible discussions, incredible things, and he just challenged me. And I loved it. I loved it. And I thought, glory to God. I hallelujah. For me to get to 94, that's going to be a long time. That's 27 more years. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Means I got a long ways to go. Amen. Hallelujah. And someone says, you want to live that long? I don't know, but if I do, I'm going to live strong and healthy. Amen. Full of life. And I'm going to live to win one more, but I'm also going to live to show faith, because I know that without faith, I can't please my Father. And Jesus is going to look for that. He's not going to have a problem finding it in my life. And I don't want him to have a problem finding it in your life. Let's bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you. Lord, I'm just teaching as a pastor to his sheep, because we've got to lay a foundation of faith toward God first. Then when we lay the foundation of faith of God, we'll receive. Hallelujah. Father, we have to have the right attitude towards you in order for our ability to receive from you. So Lord, thank you for these wonderful folks. Thank you, Father, as we continue this journey. I just thank you and praise you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you for the Holy Spirit touching lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you and praise you. Father, I don't know everybody that's here. I trust all of them know you, but I don't know that. So we'd never want to have a service without giving people the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Those that are watching that come across this, they need to understand the joy, the power, and the presence of God. Oh, because our salvation is so precious, so wonderful. Father, thank you for your word that declares that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. So if you're here this morning and you've never prayed that, or you're here this morning and you want to come back to God and you want to know that he loves you and he'll carry, he cares for you and that he'll take you back, he will. I'd like to pray for you. Just raise your hand real high on any one of those two invitations. Amen. I see that hands. Praise God. Amen. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we're going to pray. In fact, we're going to do it as a whole body. Everybody just say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die just for me. So right now, I receive him as my Lord, my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me of all of my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for cleansing me of all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father, that I get to make heaven and I get to miss hell. Hallelujah. And now, Father, I pray for every person here. I pray that their faith fail not. I pray that, Father, that through every temptation, test, and trial, that they rise up victorious. Hallelujah. That they can stand steadfast. Hallelujah. And Father, they can strengthen one another. You're going to strengthen one another. Lord, thank you for your amazing grace. Oh, we love you. We praise you for that. Lord, we honor you for it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to have our prayer team come forward. I love you. God loves you. I'm not going to be shaking your hands out there because we have to bolt. Sorry about that. I'll shake your hand next week if you come back. I'll be here. Let's all stand up. Prayer team, come. Hallelujah. Let's go. Shake it twice next week. Yes. God bless you all. We love you all. Good.